Guys, it says in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So the groundwork for praise and worship right off the bat, guys, it's got to be in the spirit. That is the spirit of God, not in the flesh. And it's got to be in truth. We've got to be genuine. True praise, guys, true praise is a response to the realization of the God that we serve, his greatness and what he has done for us. And so right now, even today, if maybe during the praise time you weren't really into it, hey, might I just suggest that you're not really grasping at this moment, that is, maybe truly the greatness of God, who he is, what he's really done, and guys, what his design is to do in your life and in our life. Guys, when we have a realization, and that's key here, when we have a realization of what God has done and who he truly is, that's when praise begins to happen. And guys, praise is spontaneous. Praise isn't something we have to work ourselves up into a frenzy to do. Now, we're going to see in a moment that praise is mental, and there's times where you have to choose to praise even when you don't feel like it. But guys, praise is spontaneous. Praise is a response. If I've got to convince you to praise, guys, you're not grasping something. Because it's when we begin to see it, that's when it begins to flow out. Now, remember the setting here. The setting was that Mary had just been told that she was going to be bearing the Messiah. And as she began to realize, as the angel told her, you're going to bring the Messiah into the world, guys, she began to just explode in praise. And that's what we're going to see as we get into this. But it was the realization. Let me ask you a question. Had anything changed in Mary's life other than the announcement given to her? God was still on the throne. God still had great and awesome surprises for Mary. God still had glorious things to reveal to her. God was still just as mighty and holy in the heavenlies. Here's the difference. Mary now had her eyes open to it. And guys, that's our desire today. That's my desire today, is that our eyes would be open to God's greatness and God's power as we look at what praise and worship really is. Because when that happens, I guarantee you, you're going to praise and worship. And it's not going to be something I'm going to have to cheerlead you into. You know, it's going to be something that you're not going to be able to hold back. It's going to be a natural response. I mean, you ever had those moments of praise where it just starts, there you are, just having this praise moment. I mean, whatever it might be. Guys, that's our heart when we realize who God is and what he's done for us. Now, about worship. And we're going to look at praise and worship. By the way, is praise and worship the same thing? Praise and worship is not the same thing. Praise is just proclaiming who our God is. It is exalting. And we started out today with some praise songs. They are, God, you are great. God, you are holy. Look to the Lord. Whatever the words, we're exalting our God. We're lifting up. We're using the phrasings and the wordings from scripture to exalt our God. That's praise. But guys, there's also a time after you enter into praise. You notice oftentimes we'll slow it down and we have some mellow songs at the end. There's a time to enter into worship. And if you're just a praiser's good. But guys, you got to move beyond praise into worship. Well, what is worship? Worship is where we draw near. Worship is where we just get enveloped and lost in who he is. We've been praising, we've been proclaiming, we've been saying who our God is, we're acknowledging who he is, and now we're just saying, wow. And guys, we just sit at his feet and we say, wow. That's praise and worship. We're going to see both in this passage today. So again, we need to understand about praise and worship. It's not limited to songs. Guys, you can praise the Lord in your speech. You can worship the Lord in your job, as you're serving the Lord, as you're ministering to him by what you're doing is unto Jesus. It's not just songs. Praise and worship is a lifestyle. And I think that's important for us to grab. Now, also, we need to realize, guys, where it comes from. Obviously, it comes from praise and worship of the Lord, but the word worship comes from the word worthy. Really, if we were going to say it literally, it would be worth-ship. And that is, God, you're worthy of our praise. And how do we know that God is worthy of our praise? Guys, when he begins to reveal to us his greatness. How is his greatness revealed to us? By his word, by his spirit, and by prayer. And guys, if we're not in his word, if we're not in the spirit, if we're not in prayer, we're never going to realize God's greatness, and we're never going to realize his worthiness. And hence, the result is going to be, we're never going to give him the praise that he's due. Again, guys, it's a spontaneous thing that happens. It's not something you have to work up. Now, there's two things we're going to look at here as we look at these sections. The first section, 39 through 45, is going to be the result of praise. First, the result of praise. We're going to see there's a lot of excitement that comes with the result of praise. But then we go on with the rest of the passage from 46 through 56, and we're going to see the elements of worship. So the result of praise and the elements of worship. Look at verse 39. Now, remember again the setting. Mary has just been told she's going to give birth to the Messiah. She is stoked to say the least. This was something that was the greatest honor a woman could ever receive throughout history. And it was one that all the women of that day were hoping maybe someday, maybe somewhere deep in their heart, maybe I could be the one. Now Mary's just been told by the angel, Mary, you're the one. God has given you the honor. God has given you that place to call you blessed and call you special because you're going to be bearing the Messiah. And now Mary has reason to praise. By the way, guys, Mary began to realize the reason to praise the Lord because she had inside of her the Messiah, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, and now she was going to be able to bear and share him with the rest of the world. And guys, it brought a natural response of praise when the realization hit her. But did you realize that each one in this room today that knows Jesus Christ has the same honor? Not the honor of bearing the literal Messiah physically into the world. That alone is set aside for Mary. But guys, this morning, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you have inside of you Jesus Christ. And you have the privilege and the joy and the honor of bearing and sharing him with everyone around you. The workplace, the family, wherever it might be, guys. And the realization of that is where that spontaneous praise and worship begins to leap out of us. But notice what happens here with Mary when she gets the news. Notice what it says in verse 39. It says, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. Now you can imagine Mary. The angel tells her and she gets up going, wow, wait a minute. I'm going to have the Messiah? This is amazing. I'm going to have the Messiah. And in my mind, I see her pacing back and forth in excitement. Now, probably not Mary. That's how I would have reacted. But I see Mary in my mind very excited. And all of a sudden, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Gabriel, the angel said that Elizabeth also, Elizabeth? Cousin Elizabeth is pregnant with a baby? Like old cousin Elizabeth? You're kidding. And here's what's neat to me. Now, remember when Elizabeth got pregnant, it says she was quiet for 5 months. I think probably an element of maturity and just praise at the grace of God as she just soaked in. Oh, God, how awesome you are. And this immediate, I think, overwhelming worship began to fill her heart because she had her whole life been waiting through praise on the Lord. And now this worship of just this quietness with God. But now notice her younger counterpart, Mary. Got to tell somebody, got to tell them now. Mary jumps up, gets excited with haste, grabs her bags, packs her bag, and she heads off, guys, the Bible says, to a city of Judah. Now that is significant, guys, because Judah in Scripture means praise. And guys, what a great response as we see God laying the groundwork here and putting together the setting of what true praise and worship is. The first thing Mary does when she understands and realizes the greatness of God and the greatness of God's plan for her life, where is the first place she runs? To a place of praise. Guys, that will not only be something, that's something I don't have to tell you to do. That's going to be a natural, spontaneous reaction. Running to a place of praise. But notice how she runs to this place of praise. It says that she arose up. And guys, the results of praise, the results of praising the Lord, it causes us to what? To rise up. It causes us to get excited. Mary finds out, and man, she's going. Now, let me just say this as far as excitement related to praise. Guys, is excitement and praise okay? You better believe it is. Excitement and praise, God gave the emotion of excitement. Now, there's a difference in emotionalism and emotion. And guys, I believe that we need to be emotional in our worship. It should be an experience with our God as we praise him, as we clap our hands, as we lift our hands. These are all things the Bible tells us to do. And guys, they are things that not only are allowable, but again, encouraged for us to do. Now, if it's fake, we don't do it to be fake. Again, it's not to draw attention to ourselves or whatever. But guys, there's a natural excitement that comes out of it. There's an emotion that comes with it. And let me say this. I think especially if you're visiting, sometimes you come in a new church, you think, well, now what's allowed here? You know, what am I going to get in trouble for? You know, listen, guys, emotion in worship is okay. Just don't draw attention to yourself. That would be the boundaries at Calvary Chapel. Don't draw attention to yourself. Now, why do I say that? I believe if we draw so much attention to ourselves, that guys, now who are we looking at? We're looking at the person that's worshiping rather than the one that's being worshiped. But that doesn't mean you can't clap. That doesn't mean you can't raise your hands. That doesn't mean you can't boogie a little bit right where you are in the Lord. There's nothing wrong in that. But I do believe that there are limits of running up and down the aisles and different things. Now, why do I say that? Because, guys, if somebody starts running up and down the aisles, who am I looking at now? I'm no longer looking at Jesus. I'm looking at the person running up and down the aisles. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not saying these aren't my brothers and sisters. I'm saying this is one of the elements of worship that we've got to grasp. It's all about who? It's all about Jesus. And so we need to make sure, guys, there's nothing wrong with the excitement. Mary here, listen, she arose. She's excited. She went into the hill country with haste. With haste here means, guys, with diligence and earnestness. And I believe we come to the next, if you will, result of worship, or rather the result of praise. Guys, it's an earnestness of heart. What we should have, an element of praise. We should be earnest in heart. Guys, it should be something that's sincere. Not something we're manufacturing, not something that we're faking, but something that is sincere to us. And notice it says she went to the hill country. Now, I know she literally went to the hill country of praise. But guys, there's something else that praise and worship does. It takes you to the heights of the Lord. You definitely will be going up into that place of praise and worship. You will arise and you will have those mountaintop experiences as you enter into praise and worship. And guys, I want to encourage you in something. If praise and worship, the only time you get it is on Sunday morning at church, it's not that you're missing out. That's where, listen, the quiet time alone with the Lord, praise and worship, that's where it is. Mary's alone here at this point. She is praising and worshiping the Lord all by herself. And I can imagine on the way to Elizabeth's house, which is probably about a 3 to 5 day journey, guys, she's praising the Lord. I can guarantee you that. Wait till I tell Elizabeth. She won't believe it. Well, she will believe it happened to her. But just wait till I tell her who it is. Oh, this is amazing. This is going to be exciting. Oh, God, you're so good. Ever been there? Guys, that's exactly what's happening to Mary. The mountaintop experience, the rising up. And again, if you're in those low valleys, let me encourage you again. The Bible repeatedly, and if you read the Psalms, you can't miss this. David was a man of depression. As we read David's life, he was down on a regular basis. You read David, oh, God, I'm down. My enemies are against me. Everything's collapsing. If you're like that or ever been there, then you're in good company. Because the Bible says that Jesus was even a man of sorrows. And that David was oftentimes a man who was down because that's when he needed to be lifted. But guys, what was the result of the Psalms? Yes, oftentimes immediate praise because of what God had done. But guys, what is the result of much of the Psalms? The fact that David was in a valley. The fact that David was low. The fact that David was depressed. And you know what David did when he was low and depressed? What did he do? Guys, he entered into a praise and worship session. Again, we've talked about it before. I don't know about you guys, but the last thing I want to do when I'm down and low is enter into a praise and worship session. I want to sulk about poor old me. That's what I want to do. And I want to, sometimes you get the temptation to grumble. You know, well, how come this and how come that? And God says, praise me and worship me because I have a plan. And you know what, guys? God will take you from that valley to the mountaintop. Mary's on top of it. And then she's riding the wave. Now again, when we get up there, it doesn't mean that there's times we don't come back down. I'd like to stay on the mountain. Remember Peter on the mountaintop with Jesus. He wanted to live there. So let's just build some tabernacles. One for you, Elijah, and Moses. Let's just stay here forever. And God said, no, we need to go back down the mountain because there's work to be done. And there's going to be the up times. There's going to be the down times. But during those down times, you praise me and I will lift you up. And guys, that's what it's all about. Lifting up the Lord lifts us up. You see, true praise and worship is not about us. It's about Him. The Bible says that as we praise and worship, we minister to Him. But here's what's so good about our God. Guys, as we minister to Him, you know what happens? We get ministered to. Now, that shouldn't be the goal. And I've seen that be the goal before. I've seen that abused, where the idea is, let's go in, let's praise and worship the Lord because we need to be blessed. Right? Okay, God, here I am. Bless me. La, la, la. Bless me, Lord. I'm waiting. La, la, la. Bless me. Come on, bless me. Right? We need to understand the true heart of worship is not, Lord, bless me. It's, Lord, bless you. That's what it's about, ministering to the Lord. Mary now, as a natural response, not being worked up into a frenzy by a good cheerleader, if you will, but just naturally responding to the Lord, begins to worship and praise the Lord as she goes to the mountaintop experience. And again, with haste, meaning earnestness and diligence. And guys, also, I think Mary understood the importance of worship. You know, I've known, in all honesty, you guys are pretty good about it. I haven't really, you know, noticed a big thing of it. But I've been at places where people actually, they kind of wait until the praise and worship, they kind of let that get done so now they can go in for the teaching. Guys, what a misconception that is of what it's all about. God sees the praise and worship just as important as the teaching. Because guys, honoring Him and praising Him and glorifying Him, it's not just that He receives the praise, it's that it lifts us up and it's what God does in our heart as well. So the praise and worship, Mary understood this is an important thing. We need to be praising. We need to be worshiping. And she goes for it. Notice what happens here in verse 40. She's on her way. She zips down here now to see Zacharias and Elizabeth. And notice what happens. And she entered the house of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, guys, note this. You may not catch a lot there in that verse at first, but notice I want to give you another result of praise is you desire to do it with other people. Guys, there's an element that comes with praise. I do believe that we should be praising the Lord on our own. But guys, there's also that need for corporate worship and praise, coming together as a body. And now Mary, being drawn by the Lord, as she's drawn to the Lord, she realizes, I've got to share this with somebody. Let's come together and worship and praise. And that's exactly what she does. And it says, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Guys, check this out now. The next result of true praise, it doesn't revolve around the Holy Spirit or us. It revolves around Jesus. Guys, do you see what happened when Jesus entered the equation? Even babies in wombs began to leap. Isn't that exciting? Now, let me say this, because I have also seen situations where it's almost as if the Holy Spirit is what's being worshiped. Guys, we don't worship the Holy Spirit. Certainly, He enhances our worship and makes it powerful and meaningful. But guys, the Holy Spirit, His job, Jesus said in John, is to point our eyes to Jesus. And so our eyes need to be on Him, not on the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus enters the equation, when you bring Jesus as the central focus, not only are you going to be jumping and rejoicing, but guys, here, even the babies in the womb rejumped and rejoicing. And that's exciting to me. I think about, you know, I'm kind of an impatient guy. Well, apparently John was too. I mean, you know, I don't know what he's thinking. I'm in water. You're in water. Maybe it's time. He gets excited. No. That's later on. When you baptize him, yes, they didn't meet again until they were in water. Don't you find that interesting? Their first greeting and meeting was in water, and their second one was. And John now gets excited. You know, this little baby. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away. You can't, not yet. I can see almost John trying to make the announcement. You know, here he is. It's like, listen, whenever Jesus came around with a heart that was filled with God, he had no choice but to jump with excitement and point and say, look at him. Guys, Jesus said John was the greatest prophet that ever lived. John didn't jump in there to say, look at me. Who did he jump because of? Because of Jesus. And guys, that's what happens in true praise and worship when we allow the Lord to truly be the focus and the central purpose of our worship. Guys, we're going to leap and we're going to jump for joy. You know, it's interesting too. In verse 15, remember the prophecy that Gabriel gave to Zacharias. He said, John will be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. Now that is an on fire baby for the Lord. Think about it. That's why today when we prayed for little Elizabeth, it's like, guys, God can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. We need to be praying for our kids. Let God do it the way he wants to do it. And pretty exciting here as John gets filled and jumps. What's interesting is notice here it says that when John was filled, Elizabeth was filled as well. Now, guys, I don't want to get too far out there on this because I think God filled her as well as he filled John. But let me say this. Whenever you get around believers that are filled with the Spirit in praise as they point the finger, if you will, to their Jesus, and to the one that they're proclaiming, guys, the people around you can't help but get excited. The people around you can't help but be influenced. And I want to encourage you on something. I'm not saying, again, to do this so that people see you. We should never do that. But guys, don't be intimidated to praise and worship the Lord in freedom just because of who's standing beside you, in front of you, or in back of you. This is not for them. This is for the Lord. And who knows? It may be your freedom to lift your hands that will set them free. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I came out of a background we didn't lift our hands. We just didn't do that. And if I got in a place where they did lift their hands, it was very uncomfortable. But guys, as I began to look at the scriptures, and after I came to the Lord, I realized it's not a requirement. You don't have to lift your hands. But guys, I will say this. It is something that God exhorts us to do throughout the scriptures, to lift our hands, to raise our voice. By the way, the Hebrew prayer position, they raised their hands. That's how they prayed. When they prayed to the Lord, they lifted their hands. And guys, it's almost, well, even today, it's a sign of surrender, is it not? Lord, I give up. Drop them. You got it. I drop everything, God, that holds me back from giving you glory. And I'm not talking about, again, disruptiveness or charismania. There's a difference in charisma, biblical charisma, and that is freedom in the Lord, and charismania, which is out of control. And guys, my encouragement to you is ask God to set you free in heart. You don't have to raise your, hey, you can praise the Lord without raising your hands. I don't want you to feel that either. I'm just saying, understand that, guys, there's nothing unbiblical about that. There's nothing, you don't have to clap, you can. Both are allowable. But just know that you're free to do that. And so, Mary here comes in and the baby jumps and things get going. It's pretty exciting here. But guys, as a side note, and this really is a side note. Well, first of all, the word leap with joy here, it really means, when it says he leaped, guys, the word means he leaped with joy. This baby in the mother's womb leaped with joy. Now, I had one of our little girls leap one time. I think it might have been Adiah when she was still in mommy's tummy. I used to talk to him in the belly. So I'm kind of sharing some, hey guys, how you doing in there, you know? Say hello. And one time I got over there real quick and went, hey, like that, you know what I was doing? And then you talk about jumping. It's like, phew. I mean, it was like there was a real response. It wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like, Dad, when I get out, don't ever do that to me again, you know? Here's my point. The baby leaped for joy. You know what that tells me about babies in the womb? They are well aware of what's going on outside. Now, they might not have the intellect of understanding. But guys, they have emotions, they have feelings, they have connection, in this case, even with God. As a matter of fact, the Jews and the Hebrews believe that many children would actually praise and worship the Lord before they ever came out of the womb, which is interesting when you realize that Jesus said this, and rather it says in Psalm 8:2, and Jesus repeated it, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. In other words, I'm going to show so much that a baby in the womb is truly a baby that I'm going to have them start praising me before they come out. And even that very example is going to be a rebuke to those that would say otherwise. Guys, intense. Very intense. Interesting. Child in the womb praising the Lord before he comes out. You know, guys, there's an argument today that goes around, when does a baby become a child in the womb? I don't think for the Christian that's the argument, because it tells us in Jeremiah that before he was ever conceived, God knew him. So the answer of the Christian is, when does a baby become a baby? Well, before time. Next question. But guys, I think for the Christian it needs to be, at what age do they start praising in the womb? When are they old enough to receive those responses in the womb? And by the way, moms, listen, notice it says that when it entered her ear, the greeting of praise of Jesus entered her ear, the baby leaped. Hey, moms, I think it's a good idea to have that praise and worship exposed to the child even before born and especially after. Guys, if our kids don't see us praising, how are they going to learn to praise? But here's what's neat. Simply because mom heard the greeting, what did the child do? Leap for joy. Guys, we have a responsibility to lead our children in worship as well. And that doesn't mean you have to sit around with a guitar. You may not have any abilities. You may not have any talents to do that. But guys, your kids need to see you worshiping. I remember hearing a story about a very excellent worshiper out of Costa Mesa who his kids came in the service one day. He was the worship leader there in Costa Mesa. And the kids came in the worship and they saw his mom and his dad up there worshiping. And they said something to him that really gripped their heart when they left. They said, you know, mom and dad, because they've been doing this for years, they said, wow, that was incredible. We've never seen you worship. Because they were too young to come into the service. And they'd seen others worship, but not their mom and dad. And he said that like a ton of bricks, he realized, you know what? Here I am leading the entire body in worship, and my own children have never seen it. Guys, we need to be that example. It says that when she heard the greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and the baby was filled with the Holy Spirit. Pretty exciting. It says, then she spoke with a loud voice. Now, I'm not going to get off on this, but let me just say this, guys. There's nothing wrong with healthy praise and worship. I think if it hurts your ears, there's a problem. But guys, I think it's good to get alone and crank it up. Whenever you look at worship throughout the scripture, it is repeatedly spoken of as something that is not quiet. Again, I'm not talking about bleeding eardrums and not making excuses for a worship team that's too loud. But guys, at the same time, we never see any exhortations when it comes to praise to be quiet. It's loud. And now we see she answers with a loud voice. And notice what she says here. She said, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Man, what a shock that must have been to Mary. See, at this point, she had not even told Elizabeth she was pregnant. Elizabeth couldn't have known this. This is a supernatural event suddenly revealed to Elizabeth as she proclaims it. And what a confirmation in Mary's heart. Wow. That's exactly what the angel said. Amazing. And again, just blows her away here because she couldn't have known. And guys, here's the next result of praise and worship I want to point out to you. True praise and worship will result in supernatural insight from the Lord. Guys, sometimes during the sweetest praise and worship sets is where God speaks to your heart and tells you things that you could not possibly know without him. He speaks here to Elizabeth's heart and tells her what's going on. She repeats the exact same thing prophetically. She says, blessed are you, notice, among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She even knows that she's pregnant. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come near to me? And guys, here's the next element, if you will, of praise, humility. Guys, Elizabeth was told, you know what? You're going to have John the Baptist. This was the greatest prophet to ever live, by the way. And yet, rather than Elizabeth walking around saying, I've got the break, you know, see my kid, you know, you think your kid's something. You know, my kid can beat your kid up spiritually. No, it wasn't that kind of attitude. Guys, it was the attitude of, you know what? Who am I? That someone carrying the Savior of the world. Who am I that you would even come near me? So humility. Again, if you want to enter into true praise, there's got to be a heart of humility. It says in verse 44, he says, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped for joy. And again, we talked about that. The sounding of it in the ears leaped for joy already because of that. And the importance of praise with our children. Blessed is she. Now notice this, guys. How do we know again a further confirmation that Mary believed when we know that Zacharias didn't? Notice verse 45. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And guys, now we see some of the benefits of believing God's word. It's not just the benefits and the results of praise, but guys, the benefits of believing God's word. Notice what he says, you'll be blessed. The word is literally, you will be spiritually prosperous. Now guys, there's a lot of teaching today about health and wealth and money God wants us to have, which again is non-biblical. But I want to say this, guys, God does say that he wants us to be extremely wealthy in the spirit. You should be spiritually prosperous. And what he's saying is, what rather Elizabeth is saying to Mary is, Mary, because you've believed the word of God, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be spiritually prosperous and advancing. You're going to have things those around you don't have. And I want to say today, for those of you in this room who believe God's word, simply flat out for what it says, and you stand on it, I guarantee you, you are spiritually prosperous, and you're much more wealthy than those in the room that don't stand there. Because God says, you will be spiritually prosperous if you believe my word. If you're not, you won't be. But if you do, you will be. There are rewards to believing the word of God and following the word of God. And not only will you be spiritually prosperous, guys, you'll see the fulfillment of God's word and you'll have joy in the midst. Notice what she says. Blessed is she, or spiritually prosperous is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So again, God says, I'm going to do it. Spiritually prosperous, as well as joy in the midst of it. Now, the results of praise. Now look at the elements of worship. Look at verse 46. And Mary said, now here's Mary's response. She realizes, God, what you've done. And here she just takes off. I love it. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Guys, you ever seen things through a magnifying glass? They become a lot clearer. They become a lot larger. They become a lot more prominent. And guys, that is exactly what praise and worship is all about. As you begin to lift up the Lord, he becomes more prominent, he becomes clearer, he becomes a larger portion of your life than he was before. And guys, whenever God is enlarged in your sight and in your mind, everything else in the world will get greatly and gradually smaller and smaller and smaller. What are you facing today? Guys, well, look what's going on over in Iraq. Here we as a nation are in battle right now. Some people that we have connections to, maybe you've got family over there, I don't know. But guys, the bottom line is, you know what? As we magnify the Lord, guys, the things in this world that bring us down or that can cause problems get gradually smaller and smaller and smaller. And so the first thing she does is magnify the Lord. I love it. She lifts him up. Now, this is where theologians get, you may have heard the term the Magnificat. This is where theologians, they call this little portion here, Mary's prayer, the Magnificat. Now, it doesn't mean some kind of super pet. It comes from the Latin. It means to magnify. It means to magnify, to simply exalt the Lord, to make him larger. And it's interesting to me, guys, as we get into this, and you need to note this, critics will say there's no way Mary could have done this. There's no way Mary could have written this because it's way too sophisticated. Mary was young. Mary was poor. Mary lived in a very bad neighborhood. Mary could never have written this. This is way too lofty. It's way too intellectual. It's way too spiritual. Guys, my answer to the critic would be is, wait a minute, who wrote this, Mary or the Lord? See, guys, here is a common problem that many people make when they come to the scriptures. For some reason, they think that man wrote certain portions of it. And there's some that think that man wrote all of it. Guys, you need to understand this. When you're reading the word of God, God used man as his pencil, but who's the author? God is. Even Paul made a comment when he said, now I, but not the Lord say. He didn't even understand that who was it saying it through him? It wasn't Paul. You think God's going to have the instructions of Paul in scripture? I think not. God says, no, these are instructions of the Lord. And so God, through Mary now, is beginning to say this thing. And notice, again, my soul magnifies the Lord. Guys, here's one of the elements of worship that we need to jot down, and that is soul. Here's the word psuche. It means your mind. And I want to say this. We saw earlier that Mary responded in praise because of all that God had done. But let me say this also. There is a time when your mind has got to be engaged in order to enter into true worship. What do I mean by that? Well, some of you walked in here this morning and you did not feel like praise and worship. You didn't feel like it. You walked in and the last thing you want to do is praise and worship. You didn't feel like it. You know what this is saying right here? What it's saying is this. Praise and worship, guys, is a choice as well as a feeling, which means that even when we come in and we don't feel like it, what do? We praise and worship the Lord. Mary said, God, even with my mind, I worship you. But it doesn't stop there. Notice this. And my spirit. So now the spirit's involved as well. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Now note this, guys. Notice who Mary, first her spirit's involved, but notice who she calls Jesus. God, my Savior. Guys, who's our Savior? Who did the angel tell Mary would be the Savior of the world? The one that was in her belly. Mary here is acknowledging and proclaiming that Jesus is God. But now note this. This blows me away. Guys, who needs a Savior? The sinner or the saved? The sinner needs a Savior. And notice what Mary says. I, in my spirit, rejoice God, my Savior. Mary is admitting she's a sinner. Now again, there is a teaching today that says Mary never sinned. Well, not according to Mary. I think it's probably best to get straight from her mouth. She says, I need a Savior. And in me is God, not their Savior, God, my Savior. She goes on and says, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. Now, guys, again, notice, remember we saw back in praise, we saw Elizabeth's humility. Now in worship, the elements of worship, we see Mary's humility as well. Guys, it's in both places. There can never be successful praise and or worship without successful humility. And so Mary now again showing herself and her humility in the midst of this, no different. It says, for he who is mighty. Notice she goes on. Now she begins to proclaim his attributes. She says, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And guys, here's the next element of worship. That is the proclaiming of the God we're worshiping. Notice she says he's mighty. He has done great things, and he is holy. Guys, we need to acknowledge who our God is in praise and worship, because that's when we're going to really be drawn into praise and worship. You see, it's when we realize his greatness that, guys, we begin to pour out our hearts before his throne. She says, he is mighty, he is great, he has done great things, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Now, guys, note this. If you want God's mercy, what's the requirement? His mercy is on those who fear him. Guys, God is a merciful God, but his mercy is on those who fear him. Question, do you fear God today? One of the fears I have, guys, is that we as a church in many elements don't fear God today, not the way we should. Let me give you a self-test. Do you want to find out if you fear God? How do you respond to sin in your life? Is it like no big deal and probably nobody will find out? Guys, that's a lack of fear of God. If we can sin without being tormented, we have no fear of God in our heart. And guys, that's a self-test. Lord, what is my response to sin? What is my response when sin enters in? Am I broken? Do I cry out for your mercy? Or do I say, you know what? It's not so bad. That guy does worse than I do. We need to have that fear of God in our heart. And guys, that's the next element of worship, a fear of God. If you don't have that fear of God in your heart, ask God to give you that fear. Say, Lord, put a healthy fear. Now, there's a healthy fear and an unhealthy fear. Unhealthy fear is being afraid God's ready to whack us and we're backed in a corner, scared of our God. That's not what he's talking about. Guys, a healthy fear is wow, you are God. And you are worthy of honor and respect and praise. And one day I'm going to stand before you and give account for everything I've ever done in my life. Wow. That's a healthy fear of God. And that's the fear that he's talking about here. She goes on and says, notice, from generation to generation. So it's for us today. For he has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Guys, strength with his arm, that was a sign of battle. What she's saying is, God went to battle for me. Jesus has gone to war with me. It's interesting when you read the scriptures, it says in Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a man of war, and the Lord is his name. Guys, Jesus is a man of battle. It's not that he desires battle. It's not that he wants battle. But when it comes to standing up for what's righteous, we see that he bears his right arm. And that's consistent, a consistent idiom throughout scriptures. I will go to battle when necessary. And Mary says, God has gone to battle for me. He has gone to battle on my behalf. And he's thought of the lowly of state of his servant. Notice he has scattered the proud. That is, those who think they're above others in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. And guys, here's the next element of worship. And that is realizing that no matter your condition or state, God turns the tables. You may be in a lowly state, guys. You begin to worship and praise the Lord. God sees you in a very high state. It's interesting. The world's view of greatness is who can be on top. And guys, the world's view of greatness is what? Self. Focus on self. That's why we have this mad dash on self-esteem stuff today. Because it's all about me, Jesus. No one else but me, Lord. Guys, I'm being silly, but that's what it's about. It's about self. And what he's saying is, no, not in my kingdom. What did Jesus say about self? By the way, guys, in the last days, we talked about wars and rumors of wars. What did the Bible say would be another sign of the last days? Men will be lovers of, wow, how easily we filled in the blank. And yet today, how readily we receive the whole self-esteem doctrine. Isn't it amazing? Guys, we need to have our eyes open and realize that there's a lot bigger thing going on in the spiritual realm than we realize down here in the fleshly. But the Lord's in control. And he says, no, it's not about you. It's all about me, getting your eyes on yourself. He says, you have brought down the mighty from their thrones. You've exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and the rich he has sent away empty. Guys, the Bible says those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. But those who think they've already got enough, they're going to go away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And guys, the last element of worship I want to point out here is this. Listen, if God says he's going to do it, God's going to do it. And when we enter into worship, we need to give him praise and glory for what he said he's going to do. She doesn't say, you know what, Lord, I think you're going to do it. Notice what she says. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. That is the promise to Israel. But guys, also the fact that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Even as he spoke to Abraham, he's going to follow through with it. And notice what the last verse, verse 56, as we wrap this up. It says, and Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Now, about 3 months, that means sometime right around the time that the child was born. Now, I don't know if Mary stayed there until the baby was born or if Mary left. Commentators will differ. Some will say she stayed till the baby was born. Some say, no, she left beforehand. I've got a gut feeling she left right beforehand, only because I believe that they didn't meet again until they were both in the water a second time. And that is when Jesus came walking down in the water and baptized him and was able to say, behold, the Lamb of God. This time he jumped and it meant something, right? Well, it meant something the first time. But guys, he got to do it again. But guys, I would just leave us with this. How do we cultivate praise and worship in our life? How do we do that? Guys, first of all, remember the key element in Mary praising and worshiping the Lord, and that was the realization of who God was and the realization of what God was doing. Guys, we need to be asking God to show us, who are you, Lord, and what are you doing? We need to have God cultivate that in our heart, because when we begin to realize who God is and what God is doing, guys, then we're going to really begin to praise him with a true and honest heart. And lastly, guys, I want to say this. If we don't make time for praise and worship and have the right attitude, it's not going to happen. We've got to make time for praise and worship. I encourage you guys, set aside time for praise and worship. Set aside time for it. Because guys, if we don't enter into praise and worship, we can't know the blessings of praise and worship. And as a matter of fact, we've got time to do some now. Why don't the worship team come on back up here? And what I'd like to do here with the last 10 minutes or so is just do a couple of worship and praise songs. I'd like to do kind of reverse it. We'll start off with a worship song. And guys, let's just worship the Lord. Right now, no matter what your mindset is, what your heart set is, I want you to get your eyes and your focus on the Lord. And I want you to begin to worship the Lord from your heart. And then after that, I want us to do a praise song. So whichever two you pick there, Tony, it'll be fine. We'll do a worship song first. And then end with a praise song, guys, and do both of the elements of worship and praise. But guys, let's ask for God to make us worshipers. Let's ask for God to make us those who praise. And guys, let's ask for God to open our eyes to the greatness that he's doing in our life and is going to do, because if he does that, it's going to be a natural response, and you're not going to be able to help but worship and praise. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today, and we thank you, Lord, the fact that you have, Lord, given us the blessing of worship and praise. And Father, I do pray, Lord, in Jesus' name now, that as we enter into a time now just of worship, Lord, that you would just truly help us to magnify you. Even as Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. God, we now magnify you and give you glory for your greatness, for your might, and for your holiness. And God, we pray that it would be acceptable before your throne. In Jesus' name, amen.